Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you're sitting there thinking, my life needs more adventure, well, Derek Loudermilk is about to prove you right. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Derek Loudermilk. Derek is originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and is currently in Bali, Indonesia. He used to be a bicycler and a scientist, but he's turned entrepreneur. He's the podcast host of The Art of Adventure and a contributing author to the online magazine, The Good Men Project. First of all, Derek, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Well, Lynette, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm super excited, and I know that you did bring a quote to share with my audience. Do you want to read that now?
Yeah, this quote is from Henry Ford. It's quite well known, and it's, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are right.
Yes, and as a teacher, I am familiar with that one, a newly resigned teacher, I might add, but go ahead. How do you connect to that?
Well, I think it's a good reminder that a lot of the action we take is just driven by our mindset and how we feel about what we're doing. And so, you probably won't take action if you think you can't do something. And so it just makes sense to think in such a way that helps you take action and get started on whatever you want to work on.
Now, for you, we're talking about action, and tell everybody what your passion is.
Yeah, well, I love adventure, and the name, The Art of Adventure, in my podcast, sort of chose me. It's an interesting story, because the words art of, a lot of books and other podcasts use those two words, art of charm, art of manliness, or some other podcast that I listen to. And the word adventure just like popped out at me as I was coming up with the brand name for the show that I do. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is it, you know? And every time I speak about adventure, people raise their hand and they're like, I like adventure. Like, I want to go on an adventure. And it's just such a cool brand that has also made me change the way that I am to conform to being an adventurous person.
And you know what I love about what you just said is that people can learn to be adventurous. Not all of us are made to be adventurous, or it hasn't been role modeled maybe for us. So we don't always know that we can be adventurers.
Exactly. Yeah. In Native American culture, I read this great book, Black Elk Speaks, this year. He talks about a culture of bravery and courage, and how they sit around the campfires after a battle or after a hunt, and they tell tales of bravery. And in the Native American culture, that was totally common. It's not very common in Western culture these days to tell tales of bravery, but it's a muscle that you can train. And bravery is one element of adventure, because risk is always an element of adventure, whether it's real physical risk or perceived risk, like how it took me my whole life up until a couple months ago to sing karaoke for the first time, because I just could never bring myself to actually get up on stage and do it.
You know what's funny about that is I had a karaoke business for 13 years. So that's, I understand that fear. I used to sing with people all the time because they had that fear, even though, listen to my voice. Where am I going with this? I am not a good singer myself, but it really wasn't about that. They just didn't want to be alone. So how'd you overcome that?
Yeah. Well, I had a friend who loved karaoke and said, you know what, I'll hold your hand and we can we can sing in the car on the way there. And it was luckily not a crowded bar. And just got it out of the way. And I've done it again one more time since, and it went well. So
that's awesome. You know, I really think that the word adventure, as well as the word entrepreneur, they have the same spirit to me. They have the same sparkle. Mm-hmm. And I'm a writer, but I'm also an entrepreneur, and I feel I am an adventurist. And so I get excited by those two terms.
Yeah, because there's this element of the unknown.
Yes.
In both of those terms. There's this element of exploration, and it's a journey. You know, both of those things are a journey that have a lot of tricky parts along the way.
You know what? I think you are so right. And I always say that I love the unknown. I always want to know what's around the corner, but I'm excited that I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And curiosity, allowing your curiosity, I think, is a big part of adventure for me. One of my heroes being Charles Darwin, who basically hopped on a ship and sailed around the world and just was curious about the natural world. You know, he took a lot of notes. He was observing things. And then after his great adventure, the voyage of the Beagle, it took him another decade to think about his theory of evolution. And I just admire the fact that he was just curious enough to have those ideas percolate in his head for so long. You know, and he was out, like, can't remember how many years he was out exploring, but you know, he's a real inspirational adventure for me in that sense, about the curiosity.
And don't you think too, when you have something brewing in your head for so long, I mean, it just seems like he had to explore, he had to gather his notes and then present them and let it percolate, and that was his purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. He and I have, I think our intellects are similar. There was key influences that were happening for him. He would read, some guy would write a paper, you know, a German philosopher would write something, and it would show up in his notebooks, and you could sort of go back and see how he was incorporating the ideas of other people from around the world as he thought of this theory over the decade after the journey. And that's another hallmark of adventure, is incorporating mentorship along the way, and the sort of coincidental people that you meet on your adventures that give you the information or the tools you need just at the right moment.
You know what I think I need to do, because you and I were talking about the fact that I'm going on a 50-state tour coming up in May. And when I think about this, you know, I am from New Jersey. We are a little on the quick side, a little bit impatient, a little bit in control. So I already am starting to tell myself, when you go on this trip, slow down, because I don't want to miss any of that.
Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting that you bring up patience, because a lot of times I've felt impatient. Like, for example, I was caught in a monsoon rainstorm. I was motorbiking the length of Vietnam on the Ho Chi Minh Highway, and the sun was setting, and it's pouring the rain, and I needed to find a hotel so that I wasn't out motorcycling in the rain in the dark. And we pull up to this town, and we're asking, like, is there a hotel? Is there any place to stay? They're like, yeah, like, just go to the edge of town, keep going. We get to the edge of town, we don't see anything, we keep going, we're off back into the middle of nowhere, and I'm like, I don't think there's anything out here. So we turn around, and we're like, I don't know what we're going to do. The next town is another 30 miles away or something like that. You know, are we going to camp out in the rain? Are we going to try to keep going another 30 miles in the dark? So we pull back into town, and the sun is just setting, and the clouds sort of break, and then there's this huge rainbow over this raging river full of water, and we look up, and there's, like, guest house, like, right there under the rainbow, and we're like, oh my gosh, like, we were so anxious about this, and all we needed to do is just open our eyes and have a look, and it was just the congruency of all of it was just like, pow, you know, here's where you're going to stay. Like, okay, thank you.
Right, right. It's like flashing neon sign for you. Derek, stay here. Here's exactly what you're looking for. So where did this passion begin for you?
Well, as a kid, I grew up as an only child, and I spent a lot of time exploring the woods behind our house and going down to the creek and building dams so that I could make little pools of water and all these things. And the other thing that I would do is I would study maps. My parents had a giant atlas of the world, and I basically, from a young age, was just enthralled in looking at maps and imagining what it would be like to be in the places that I was seeing on the map. That sort of persisted as I, you're going on your 50-state expedition this year. And that was one of my first travel goals, was to go to all 50 U.S. states before I turned 30, which I did.
Congratulations.
Which is great. Thank you. And and now I've expanded that to, you know, as you mentioned, I'm living in Bali, and my next goal is to live 3 months or more on all the populated continents.
That's awesome. What stories you'll have to tell?
Yeah, and part of the goal, I'm a slow traveler. A lot of people like to go see a lot of sites, and I did that for a while, and I just get so burnt out from moving around. And so I kind of like to find a little neighborhood in some country to live. This is my fourth continent that I'm on, and just plop down and sort of find my market, find my daily routine, have some local friends to hang out with, and just experience things a little more deeply.
My next vacation, I'd like to go to Italy. And I don't even feel like I want to go jumping around all different places. I said I'd rather take, if we have 10 days, if we have 2 weeks, to stay in really kind of one area and do exactly that, live it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And you can start to see the pulse of daily life. When I was living in Vietnam, I was right next to this restaurant, and I befriended the restaurant owner. And every day at lunch, and all afternoon after lunch, he would teach me how to play Chinese chess. I would go over there. We would order some coffee. He would teach me how to play Chinese chess. And eventually, he took me to his sort of like a coffee shop / sports bar where all the local business owners would hang out during the day. And there was just like a whole crap ton of these guys playing Chinese chess. And so I got to meet all of his friends, and he taught me about the restaurant business in this town. And it was just perfect because I just, you know, walked around the corner every day, and it was like, you know, I got more from that than seeing my 100th temple.
Right, exactly. I feel the same way. And you know what? I love maps too. When we used to go on family vacations, I would always have the map because back then we didn't have GPS. And so when I got an actual atlas for this trip, I was hugging it. I miss it. Every day I'm looking in the map. It's so much fun. I feel the same. I get it. I get you. I understand. So how do you support yourself?
Yeah. So my first business was cycling coaching. I'm a retired cyclist. And part of the reason I'm in Southeast Asia in general, I mentioned Vietnam and now I'm in Indonesia, is that stealing from the 4-hour work week, basically taking advantage of geo-arbitrage. The U.S. dollar is quite strong compared to the currency here. And my monthly living expenses are well under $1,000 a month for housing and food and all the other necessities that I need. So because I'm essentially bootstrapping this teaching platform, which includes the Art of Adventure now and coaching and writing a book, it's an inexpensive place to live. You know, right now, the podcast, through patronage support, through affiliate marketing, are the ways that I'm making money. And you can get by, you know, with an income of $1,000 a month in a place like Southeast Asia.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Takes the pressure off.
I'm sure a lot of people are out there thinking, wow, if I could, you know, cruise around and make money at the same time, I would be a little more mobile as well. So that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. What was your favorite adventure?
Favorite adventure? Well, let me tell you about a recent thing that I did. I've always wanted to set a world record, and we recently did what's called the Three Peaks Challenge here in Bali. There's three large volcanoes, the three biggest on Bali, called Mount Agung, Mount Abang, and Mount Batur. And the first time it was done, the record was climbed all three volcanoes in 24 hours. That record was broken, knocked down to 18 hours, and we thought we could do it in 15 hours with some careful planning and some getting in shape. And we broke the record and set the new one for 14 hours and 43 minutes to basically run up and down all three of these volcanoes.
Wow, congratulations. And,
thank you, yeah. It's interesting, you know, because I have this background as an athlete, and I basically assume that I can accomplish some athletic feat with a little bit of training, I should be okay. And it was way harder than I expected. The first climb was done completely in the dark and climbing over huge boulders and craggy rocks, the kind of terrain that you're likely to sprain an ankle in. The second one was done in the blazing sun. It was essentially across a lava field, like a black desert, you know, probably over 100 degrees on the surface. And the third one was done in the middle of the rain in a rainforest. And so we had all these different ecosystems that we were passing through. And we had a group of eight, and each person had their own sort of struggles at different times throughout the day. And the question that was circulating in my mind was, okay, so we're going to set this record, and people are following along as we're doing this. We're posting updates on social media, you know, before each climb. But I was sort of asking myself, you know, like, why am I doing this? Is it to have a good story? Is it to prove something to myself that I'm still physically capable even as I get older? Is it to have fun with a group of people? And
can I take a guess before you tell us?
Yeah, please.
I'm wondering, just because you were a previous athlete, and just so you know, everything gets harder after 30, including climbing volcanoes. But and I'm here to tell you it gets even harder after 40. But I would take a guess that you liked the challenge. That's my guess.
Yeah, that's correct. Exactly. There's something about, and I've been thinking a lot about the hero's journey in classic mythology. And of course, Star Wars is, the new movie is coming out. So I've been rewatching the old ones and thinking about Luke Skywalker's journey.
Okay. Don't forget Homer. Don't forget the Odyssey. Don't forget.
Exactly.
Don't forget Odysseus.
Exactly. You know, there's something about proving oneself, especially as a man. We want to know, like, when the chips are down, are we going to have what it takes? And that may have occurred through battle a lot of times historically as a proving ground. But what is the modern day proving ground? Like, what gives us the inner confidence to be strong men? You know, a lot of times we don't get that unless we force it upon ourselves. And so maybe that was going on for me.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. When you made this decision to say, I'm going to go live in all these continents, did you hesitate or did you foresee any challenges in making that decision?
Interestingly enough, that was maybe the easy part. The hard part of that decision was I was a scientist. I was working on my PhD in virology. I was studying the hot springs of Yellowstone National Park, which is a great adventure in and of itself. And at some point I realized that I wanted to reach a broader audience, and I loved teaching, but spending all that time in the laboratory in a dark room looking at a microscope wasn't socially fulfilling enough for me. And this truth had been staring me in the face for quite some time, and yet I had had this script in my head that I was meant to be a scientist, that I was meant to be a PhD, that I should be a college professor. Some of that might have to do with the fact that my dad is a scientist and I really admired his work. And so maybe I was, you know, wanted to sort of follow in his footsteps and copy that. It all came to a head when I was in Hawaii on this hike in the jungle. And there's something for me about going on long walks that help me think about things. There's sort of a meditation.
Yeah.
And that day I realized that I couldn't continue the same path as an academic scientist. And so simply admitting that I needed to pivot my career and dip my toe into entrepreneurship, that opened the door for me to start taking business courses at the university, even while I was in grad school for science, and essentially planning my first business, the cycling coaching business, and then eventually planning to take it on the road. And so being decisive about that change in my life, closing down the door of a life in academia, opening up a door of a life of entrepreneurship and teaching in a new way, like through the podcast and online, informed all other future decisions. So it was an easy decision to study abroad because it was aligned with what I hoped to do.
Your modeling was what your father was doing. And that's what I'm saying about these things are usually not modeled for us. So we only see what those around us are doing, and then that's what we think we're capable of. And a lot of people don't break that mold. A lot of people don't. I think the generation we're in and the internet, podcasts, and just being exposed to so much more is probably what helped you.
Yeah, and that's part of my motivation to tell a lot of stories about what I experienced, you know, simply to illustrate the possibility and get people thinking like, well, if he can do this, then what can I do?
Exactly. And that's, listeners, that's exactly why I thought Derek would be amazing to be on today's show. Because Derek, this show is simply about helping people to discover or rediscover a passion and show them how to incorporate it into their lives. Now, you've done something that most people would consider dramatic. You know, it's a drastic change. And I'm sure that people can do the things that you're doing on a much smaller scale without upheaving their entire life by just simply going out on some adventures.
Yeah, there's a concept of the micro adventure, which is, you know, you can do it in an afternoon or a weekend. And basically, you are looking for ways to challenge yourself. Like you mentioned earlier, find some form of risk, that something that makes you uncomfortable. I use the karaoke example. For me, physical challenges are common ones as well. There's also cultural challenges that, you know, going to a place where there's a different group of people, like if you normally go to the symphony, going to a punk rock show or something like that, if you feel like that's something you want. And so establishing, you know, maybe a group of friends that you're going to go on an adventure with, figuring out what type of risk you want to challenge yourself with. And another thing is that it's a cool tool for growth. So for me, because I'm a podcaster, singing karaoke was in line with getting better with my voice. And so it was a challenge where I knew that the outcome would lead to more development in an area that I was prioritizing. And so you can choose your adventures that way. You also need something that's going to be challenging enough. There's the concept of flow, which is Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's philosophy of optimal experiences. And basically, you need to be doing things that are gradually more challenging as your skills progress at some activity. And you'll find yourself in this flow state as you rise to meet a challenge. This is where time slows down or speeds up. It has essentially time has no meaning. You're utterly concentrated on what you're doing, and that can increase your rates of learning by 500 to 700%. These are the times when we're just in the zone, so to speak, in athlete terms. And that happens a lot when you go on adventures, when you set yourself up for success, when you've picked the right challenges, when you've picked the right location, the right people to go on adventures with, and then simply getting out the door with the quest or the framework that that you want to accomplish. So before you go on an adventure, saying, you know, what's going to make this a good challenge? Like what is the success for this day? For the Three Peaks challenge that we did, success was breaking the record. For singing karaoke, simply like opening my mouth on stage was the was success.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself during all this?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that it's given me a generalized confidence, which is important because there's what I consider to be domain-specific confidence. Like you could be really good at chess and know that pretty much anyone you play at chess, you can beat them. But as was the case with my college roommate, maybe not super comfortable talking to members of the opposite sex. So those domains, the confidence doesn't transfer from chess to talking to women. And if you go on enough adventures, you form this generalized confidence that even though you might be doing new things all the time, you can rely on your ability to think, your ability to make decisions, your ability to reason your way through something, your ability to connect with the people you need to in order to make it through the challenge. When I came back after my first year of traveling, people would tell me like, oh, you just seem so cool and calm and like not stressed out. And that's to me the outward representation of this sort of generalized confidence.
Right. That makes perfect sense. I know you brought the title of a book that would be motivational to my listeners. Do you want to share that?
Okay, I've got lots of books. One of the things that I'm doing this year is, of course I do. My goal is to read 100 books this year. And I actually send out, each month I send out my favorite books from the previous month. But one of the ones that stuck with me from this year is Moonwalking with Einstein. It's about memory champions and how they can memorize an order of a deck of cards perfectly in 30 seconds and all these other amazing feats of memory. What I took out of it was the way that they're remembering all these things is that they're linking new memories with existing memories. If you look up the definition of adventure in the dictionary, it says something like an interesting or remarkable experience. And a remarkable experience sort of means that it's worth remarking on, that there's a story behind it, that it was something that wasn't routine enough for it to stick in your mind and be a memory. And so the broader array, the more diversity of the memories that you have, the more you have to link new memories to. And so you end up learning more quickly. You end up weaving a tighter net of memories. You know, if I think back to all the days when I was commuting to work, I don't remember any of them specifically. It all kind of just blurs together as sort of one generalized day. But I can think of the specific experiences that I've had in the wilderness or traveling through the slums in some developing country or whatever it is. Like those are all very unique points of memory. And so I think adventure not only helps us learn by linking to new memories, it expands our sense of our life experience. It essentially makes our lives seem fuller and we can take advantage of our fullest humanity by increasing the experiences and memories that we have.
I feel like my memory has, not that it's been failing, but it's just not what it's always been. Over the last, let's say, 5 years or so, maybe even 10 years. I just feel like it, my memory is not as strong as it used to be. However, I am all about envision, explore, execute, because that's how I get myself to act. So the first thing I do is I seriously do envision things and I kind of live it in my mind first. And so as I'm planning this trip, right, I said to you, I look at the map every day. Well, when I do, I know I'm going to be doing this in this state and that in that state. And I know I'm going to be staying with this person over here and that person over there. And I can envision the people, the place, what I'm going to be doing there. And the weirdest thing is, like I just said to you before the interview started, I told you when exactly we're going to be in going to Alaska. I have the majority of the trip, at least the first two-thirds of it that I seriously have laid out. I can see it. And I feel like my memory, I told my husband this last night. I said, my memory is like on fire when it comes to anything that has to do with my my podcasting business and specifically the trip, more so than it's been forever. And I wonder if it's because I'm envisioning it so clearly that my brain feels like it's been there and it's doing it. And so my memory is getting better.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that we create our reality to a large extent. And it actually, there's an interesting story. Where I live in Bali is this town called Ubud, and it's full of hippies and very woo-woo. And people talk about manifesting things all the time, which you may buy into or not. But because of this, we said, okay, well, maybe my friend and I were looking for a villa to live in. I live with another couple entrepreneurs here in this sweet villa that we found. And we said, okay, let's just write down everything that we would want in an ideal villa. It has to be modern. It has to have high-speed internet, a pool, a cleaning lady. It has to be 5 minutes from town, all these things. It has to be less than $300 a month. You know, we were like really reaching for this magical ideal house. And we made this list and we said, okay, you know, if we end up with half this stuff, it'll be great still.
Right.
And we just posted it on the community page on Facebook. And within 15 minutes, someone was like, I have a villa like that and I would like to rent it to you. And we went and we looked and we were like, sold. We'll take it. It happened so quick. As soon as we wrote it down, it made it happen. It was just so wild.
Wow, that is awesome. But that's what they say. They say, if you want it, put it out there and it will come to you. That's what they say. And you just did it.
So, and it did. And we did it again when we were searching for a third housemate. We made a list of all the qualities we wanted and he showed up. We just started telling people about it and he showed up at our weekly Ultimate Frisbee game. So
awesome. There you go. All right. Now listen. Like I said, I'm all about envisioning, exploring, and executing. So if somebody wants to be more adventurous or become an adventurer, what is it that they need to envision or what should they see themselves doing or feeling?
I mentioned I've been thinking a lot about the hero's journey. And so it really helps me actually to pretend that I'm Indiana Jones and that I'm on this sort of epic quest for something. You know, a lot of times he's in search for the archaeological truth and just happens to go on all these wacky fun adventures. But if you can imagine yourself on a heroic journey and realize that all the challenges you're facing are in service of you becoming this hero, and so finding the right mentors, building the right relationships, probably suffering a little bit along the way, whatever it is you're doing is building this character. And throughout the journey of a hero until the very end, they're not perfect. They're going through all these struggles. And that's how we all are. You know, we're in the middle of this story arc of our lives and we think we have to be there. We have to be perfect. And just realizing that we're making mistakes along the way is a huge relief for me when I think about it, because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time, and just being okay with that and knowing it's part of a learning process, and then thinking like, I'm going to be a hero because of this. When I get a little bit older, I'll be that much better, you know? And, Yeah, that's how I like to think about it.
It sounds like that's what you were doing in the backyard down by, you know, the water when you were little. It sounds like you're still doing that as a grown man, just being a kid and exploring and putting yourself in different roles and loving it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny to think about all the things that we loved as a kid and to let that inform our actions as an adult, you know, because we're predisposed, whatever we did without someone asking us to do as a kid, I think is very informative to what we should be doing as adults.
Absolutely, because it's who you are. You've always been that person. So to explore then, what should they do if they want to be more adventurous? How can they find opportunities?
If there's something you're curious about, I like to do immersive learning. I like to, before I go to a new place, for example, or when I'm picking up a new skill, I like to really dive deep to find mentors. Mentors are one of the hallmark of the hero's journey, and just watch a lot of movies, videos, read a lot, talk to mentors, just take a really deep dive into whatever you're curious about, whatever skill you want to learn. I mentioned that we play this weekly Frisbee game here in Bali. I never played Frisbee up until 3 months ago, but it's such a rush to dive in and explore the strategy of the game, which is sort of a mix between football and soccer. It's such a fun process, this learning process, and just like really seeing how steep your learning curve can be, I think is a great way of exploring.
You know what you remind me of Derek, is you know how you get kind of like obsessed with a game, and I don't mean obsessed in a bad way, but
yes,
you get really into one thing and you just do it. Like, yep, you remember when we were kids and you would, I don't know, we would play the card game Spit, and we could play Spit for 12 hours a day, every day, all summer, you know, or we'd get involved in that. They had that game with the ball that's on the string, it's on a pole, and everybody just whacks it around. I was the same way.
Tetherball.
I could sit there and play that every day for hours a day. I would get fixated, I think is the word, on things. I was just thinking the other day how, man, I missed that, where we could just, let's say I just want to read for 3 days straight. You're able to kind of still do that right now.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Just let yourself get addicted to something or get obsessed with something. And obsession drives, you know, you're constantly turning something over in your mind. A lot of, you know, in science, they talk about eureka moments. Eureka moments can take a really long time, but they're constantly taking new inputs, blending ideas in their subconscious, maybe even, and then their eureka moment happens, but it's because they've immersed themselves in this whole field of ideas.
Yes. And you know, you were talking about manifesting thoughts and things like that. Well, I took that Deepak Chopra and Oprah meditation challenge, and I had never meditated on a regular basis before. And this was a 21-day challenge. And that is where my idea for the tour came from. I'm telling you, each day I had the strangest clarity and new ideas, and I acted on them daily. It was crazy. So if somebody wants to execute, what would the first baby step be for them to become more adventurous?
I like your envision, explore, execute. Once you've sort of immersed yourself in the field of possibilities based on your curiosity, maybe through meditation, something will pop out for you. And at this point, a lot of times you just have to start. And so this is when you get a chance to practice that the Native American priority of being courageous and being brave, because you know that you're going to face some resistance to setting off on this adventure. You're going to start coming up with your excuses in your mind. You're going to say, it's not going to work because of X, Y, and Z. And pay attention to that, because that is your subconscious mind trying to get you out of a risky situation. And that's exactly the kind of thing that you want to be in, to go on this adventure, to have this experience that's going to change you as a person. And so simply listening to where you start coming up with excuses why you can't do something and focusing on that area to practice your courage, to practice your willpower, to make you take the first step. Because once you take the first step, a lot of times you realize, which maybe, for example, you did with podcasting, once you hit the record button for the first time, all of a sudden you're a podcaster. And then you can focus on getting better at podcasting. It's simply a matter of putting one step and one foot in front of the other, as when you're climbing a mountain, taking the first step of the journey initiates the whole process.
I like that. It initiates the whole process. And once you've taken that first step, sometimes, you know, you just have to tell yourself there's no going back. Keep going forward. Now, what closing advice would you give everybody?
Well, I'd like to comment on that really quick. A lot of times I trick myself into taking the first step by saying, I'm just going to do this as a test and I can always turn back if I need to. And it tricks me into being like, well, there's no big deal. Like if I want to move home from Bali, I can. And so it forces me to start because it's like the no risk money back guarantee. You know, try out this mattress for 100 days and then you can no risk. Basically, whatever I do, I give myself a money back guarantee. Say, if I don't like it, I can just stop and go back to what I was doing before.
And then comparing that, you say, comparing what you were doing before, Bali sounds good.
Exactly. Oh, and then when I need a vacation, I come to the States where everything is easy, because in a developing country, nothing is as easy as you would hope.
And I bet it feels really good when you come home.
Yeah, it does. It's like, I don't know. America is so great. It's like I said, life is easy. You can order things from Amazon if you need them. You can go to the grocery store and it has all the things that you want, and people obey traffic laws, so you're not scared to death of driving. It's very soothing to be in the States.
Right. Well, and it's what you know.
Yes.
It's what's most familiar to you. So how can people contact you, Derek?
Okay. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Derek Loudermilk. And Loudermilk is spelled like it sounds, Louder, Louder Milk. That comes from the German word Lautermilch, which means pure milk. Mm-hmm. So I think we were a family of dairy farmers, ancestry of dairy farmers. And you can also email me directly if you are thinking about an adventure of any kind and you want support or advice. My email is derek@derekloudermilk.com. And I love being the person that helps get people out the door. So feel free to email me anytime.
That's awesome.
With a question.
And we also have a private Facebook group, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. So if you want to be a part of that, people can reach out to you there as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah, awesome. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. It was really, really interesting. You had a lot of really great information to share and a lot of things that, you know, hopefully is going to get my listeners up and out.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show, Lynette. And I'm excited about this stuff. It keeps me excited and young and thirsty for more of life. So I love it.
Yeah, because you're living it. I mean, it's amazing what you're doing. And I'm excited to see what comes from all of this for you. So good job.
Thank you. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, definitely keep us posted. Okay, so I end the show with a go-do for my listeners. What do you think they should go do today to be more adventurous?
Okay, this comes back to something I mentioned just a second ago, is resistance. And whatever it is you're working on, you know, for me recently, this has been communicating in relationships or sitting down to work on the book that I'm writing. And so wherever you are feeling the resistance, let that be a guide for you. That's a signal that it's a challenge worth doing. There's a lot of things that we want in life. We want to be healthy. We want to be rich. We want to have good relationships. Whatever it is, all of these things take effort, and a lot of them will probably be some form of struggle for us along the way. And so think about the amazing result that you'll get, and then think about that you're going to put in some struggle, you're going to be challenged, and then reach out and go after the challenge. Like, accept the fact that it's going to be a challenge and be okay with it, and be okay with learning and making mistakes. So it's great what you said about meditation. I think that reveals a lot. So maybe just go for a walk. Do a walking meditation or some sort of movement, because that's where I make a lot of my decisions, is going out for a walk. So go for a walk, think about your resistance, and then lean into it and go on an adventure.
You heard it from Derek, everybody. That's the end of the show. I want to thank you for stopping in and hanging out with us for this entire episode, because there was a lot of great, interesting things going on. And remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.